Lord had told the crowds to go away. Then he went up on a mountain all by himself. The next day, the crowds could not find him. He had walked across the water in the lake in the middle of the night, getting in that boat, stopping the storm. So he goes to a new place, and there were new crowds there. The previous group that had been fed the loaves and the fish, they come also. And today in Matthew 15, there is an additional group. They've come to the lake, but they've left the temple in Jerusalem. They were the elite, the religious class, the academic-political class, and they're coming to talk with him too, out by the Sea of Galilee on the west side. So come with me to Matthew 15. We're done with 14, but still it's the same place on the west side of the lake, and verses 1 and 2. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Jesus was still in Galilee, and there were new crowds. The older crowds couldn't find him on the mountain, so they came too. And then you have these people, these visitors, religious leaders coming from the capital city, coming from the temple in Jerusalem. One group were scribes, grammateus, grammarians. We don't think of that, but grammarians, scribes, but they would copy the Old Testament texts and make new copies because we had no printing. But often they would write their opinions. They would write what we would call a court opinion or a political opinion. Moses said this and this about this topic, and give it to the political leaders and give it to the courts. So kind of like lawyers, sometimes it's translated, but like grammarians, and what does the law of Moses teach about these things? Then we have Pharisees. Pharisees are not priests. They were rich business people. It was fine for the Jerusalem committee to go listen to Jesus. It would have been just fine if they had evaluated what Jesus was saying by the actual Bible of the Old Testament. We're supposed to listen to leaders and show respect. And then Acts 17:11 again, searching the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Or 1 John 4:11, test the spirits. But they knew that already. Before the New Testament was written, they knew it in Old Testament times. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the prophets. If they do not speak according to this word, they have no dawn. Which isn't cleaning liquid. They have no sunlight. If they do not speak according to the Bible, they have no sunlight. They're a bunch of darkness. But they're not going to evaluate Jesus by the Bible or his disciples by the Bible. They're going to evaluate Jesus by all these man-made rules. The disciples had actually not broken the Bible by the way they eat, but there's all kinds of rules in the Talmud about washing. Washing your hands, but washing. One of them is what if they met a Gentile while they're out in what we call the grocery store or the market, they run into a Gentile, they were commanded by these man-made rules to go home and take a bath and wash all the dishes in the house before they ate their next meal. Related, but not to the market, but to their own home, if a visitor came to their front door, Jew or Gentile, came to their front door, yuck, especially the Gentiles. They had the same rule. They had to go take a bath and wash all the dishes in the house. So the disciples had not broken the actual rules, and they probably did wash their hands before they ate, if they were near a place to wash their hands before they ate, and not out walking around the country. But they had all these additional rules. Why don't your disciples take all these baths? Why don't your disciples wash all the dishes in the house? Why don't they do all this stuff? They actually kept the law of Moses, but they did not keep man-made traditions. They made up all these impossible rules to keep so that they could judge other people. So we'll go ahead and read the next section. It's still about keeping clean, but now it adds, you have broken God's commandments. You have actually broken the Bible, and you have kept your own commandments, your own man-made rules, in the area of honoring your father and mother. So that's why we had that Bible reading verse, even though it's not Father's Day or Mother's Day, it's going to fit Matthew 15, 3 through 6. And he answered and said to them, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother. And he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. We'd say curse, and I'll give you some more about that verse later. It's kind of like hitting them. Adult abuse. Verse 5, but I say to you, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever I would have helped you has been given to God, then you say he is not to honor his father or mother. And by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. The Pharisees had made all these rules, and then they had loopholes of the rules. They could disobey the actual Bible about helping your father and mother, we might say giving them an honorarium if they're old and they need help. The scribes and the Pharisees were not kids or teenagers. We don't know their exact age, but we can guess they were middle-aged. Let's say they were 40 or 50. Mom and dad were still alive. In some cases, mom and dad needed some financial help, but they would say no. The parallel in Mark 7:11 says that it was korban, which is only in the Bible there, but Josephus has the same word, same idea. It's been designated, it has to be irrevocably given to the temple. They usually, we think, could get into it before then, but when that person dies, this money cannot go to mom and dad. It has to go to the temple. It's in their will, and they have it all set up so there was no obedience to honor your father and mother if they need help. They would say that while we are alive, we can get into it, but we can't be giving it to the elderly father or mother. We can't help you. It's all in designated giving. It's all irrevocable. It's all marked to the temple. And Jesus was saying, you're supposed to give honor your father or mother. If they need help when they're old, you're supposed to give honorarium to father and mother. But you have decided you will keep your human traditions and break the actual Bible. We are not under the law of Moses, but it came over into the New Testament, that same commandment. The only of the Ten Commandments that did not is you have to worship on Saturday. The rest of them came over. Ephesians 6 is New Testament, and I decided we would read Moses in Deuteronomy, that it may go well with you. But it gets repeated in the New Testament. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents. Now, I would take it kind of specifically. If a person is a child and they're home and their parents are taking care of them, the Bible would say, obey your parents. But it continues, even if they're older and they're no longer at home, they don't need to obey everything they say, but honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. So children at home have to obey. Usually they get up and leave, like the book of Genesis, leave father and mother and join to their own next generation. But children obey, but even when they're older, they don't have to obey, but they're still supposed to help father and mother if they need help. The opposite of honoring father and mother, and Jesus quotes part of it, is to curse them. And Exodus 21:17 did say, he who curses his father and mother shall be put to death. I would say we're not under the Old Testament. On the other hand, right in the context of curse, it talks about the old King James words of striking other people. So right in the line of Exodus 21, cursing father and mother, there are references to striking other people. So I think the death penalty was not just for being mouthy, but the death penalty was for actually wanting to have elder abuse or hitting father and mother. So honor your father and mother, Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother, Deuteronomy 15:6, that it may go well with you. So now we must obey the Bible. But what you have here is they were not obeying the actual Bible. They were obeying their traditions. This is designated money. The older parents can't have any of it. It's going to the temple. If a tradition is against the Bible, we should not follow it at all. We should make a different tradition. If a tradition is compatible with the Bible, we can keep it. We should, however, think this is a personal tradition. We don't need to judge other people by it. We don't need to evaluate their salvation or their spirituality by it if they have trusted in Jesus as Savior. The Bible gives commands, but there are other things. They're personal preferences. We can have our personal preferences. The Pharisees could have had their personal preferences. It's just that people don't agree with it. They should not be decided that they're unbelievers or decided that they're unspiritual. If they wanted to wash all the dishes in their house after they ran into a Gentile, I suppose they could. I don't want to go off on it, but I think the Talmud says they didn't. They thought all Gentiles were dirty because they were abortionists. So it seems really odd to us, but they did not like Gentiles. They're filthy. So kind of adding that here, but if you look up the Talmud, it will say that they thought all, that's the reason they wouldn't go into Pilate's house. Gentiles do abortions, they're filthy. So that's the reason they kind of had all these rules, but they are not in the Bible. We have traditions that we do here that are not in the Bible. We can't judge other people that are different. I'm standing on a pulpit in the middle of the room. I've been to churches where the pulpits are off on the side real high. It doesn't matter. Personal preference. No command. Thou shalt have it in the middle. Thou shalt have no command. Personal preference. Using the Bible translations. Want to use King James? Good enough. We have more modern Greek and Hebrew texts that have been found that are older. So sometimes the newer is better because they've used older texts that were not available at the time of the King James. But if a person wants to use King James, that's okay. If we want to use a different Bible, that's okay, except for the Jehovah's Witness, which is a corrupted Bible. But all the other ones are efforts. So that's optional. Choice, human choice, traditional, Can't judge the salvation or spirituality of those who make different choices. But the Pharisees were not judging by the Bible. They were judging by their man-made rules, and they were judging the spirituality of other people by things that are not in the Bible. We can move on from that point, but we can talk a little bit about honoring your father and mother again. But let's go ahead and read the next section about their hypocrisy. This is verse 7. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as the doctrines the precepts of men. So it's like a human tradition, but this is your theological doctrine. Got to wash your hands a certain way. We do not want to fall short of what the Bible teaches. We do not want to go beyond what the Bible teaches. The Pharisees were not honoring their father and mother. They were designating their money to the temple, and then they were saying, it's ours, you can't have any of it. And the Pharisees were very, the word here is hypocritical, but they were very snobbish, elitist, arrogant. We're better than all you common people, but we're better than all Jesus is, and we're better than these apostles. They're in the hypocritical category. And hypocritical is a Greek word coming down into English. We could also hear, kind of give the thought, you're hypercritical. You think you're better than everyone else because you made all these human rules. And they're following the Bible, but they have to follow the human rules also. They say they love God, but Isaiah 29 can be quoted, but their hearts are far from me. We have just finished Revelation. In Revelation 3, it talked about the church in Sardis was dead. But there were a few who walked with Jesus. So there's such a thing as a religion that's here, they're dead. Some saved, but a lot of them keep all these rules. They had an empty religion following their human rules, not so much following God's teaching. So now he has talked with the Pharisees. In the next two verses, he's going to yell at the crowd. The word is call, but I think it means talk more loudly to the crowd in verses 10 and 11. Then verses 12 through 14, he talks to the disciples. And I think he's more quiet, where the crowds cannot hear. So Jesus will now talk, and let's go ahead and read verses 10 and 11. Where he's probably talking nice and loud to the crowd. Verse 10. And Jesus called the crowd to him, and he said to them, hear and understand, it is not what enters the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of his mouth, this defiles the man. The Pharisees were judging them by their man-made rules. It's actually about washing hands, but it has to do with eating also. Their dietary rules. Jesus was going to keep the real law of Moses. His disciples were going to keep the real law of Moses. The church is not under the law of Moses, so we're not in any of these dietary rules. They couldn't eat pork. They couldn't eat shrimp. They couldn't eat catfish. And Jesus was going to keep that, but he was going to teach them. There were ceremonial rules. Jesus was still keeping them, but they were merely ceremonial rules to make you different than the Gentiles. But there wasn't anything inherently wrong with eating that food. Later after the church, the elders of the church in Acts 15 will decide Gentiles do not need to follow what we call the kosher diet. We didn't need to do this. Except they did say tell him not to eat blood, which I have no trouble with. So don't have to keep the kosher diet anymore. But even then he was saying they had to keep the kosher diet, the disciples, but he was saying that the law of Moses didn't have anything that inherently was evil to eat. So he talked to the crowd, and now he's talking to the disciples alone, verses 12 through 14. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?" And he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are the blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man into a pit, both will fall into the pit." So he had talked with the crowd, and probably verses 12 through 14, a little bit more quiet, just to his followers. They were offended, another use of the Greek word, scandalized. They were tripped up by your statement. And he's going to say, leave them alone. I would apply this to now. There are people that don't like Jesus. It's just fine to try to help them. And Jesus did talk with the Pharisees. But at a certain point, whoever does not receive you nor hear your words, as you go out of his house, shake off the dust off your feet. I believe we should try with all kinds of people. But if a person over and over and over again wants nothing to do with it, move on. Move on to someone who wants to know what is true. Move on to someone who wants to do what is right. Leave them alone. Also, it says the blind will lead the blind into the pit. I have all these Belgian, Flemish, middle-aged pictures, and Peter Bruegel drew a picture of blind people falling into a pit. And they have big buggy eyes, and the name of the thing is the blind people. Big buggy eyes, and they're following each other's walking sticks and grabbing hold, and they're all falling off the cliff. And in the middle age picture, it's the swamp. They're falling into the swamp. So here it says pit. I don't know where swamp came from, but in the Middle Ages, they were talking about already then going off into the swamp. It didn't start with President Trump, just falling into the swamp. Middle age pictures of the blind leading the blind. Verses 15 through 20, before Jesus moves out of that area, verse 15, Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And Jesus said, "Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes in the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. These defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. These are the things that defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." So Peter sometimes, he like jumped out of the boat into the storm, and see, Peter sometimes would ask questions. So here now he's just asking these questions. What about falling into the pit? What about eating anything? It is not inherently evil, and just repeats that the law of Moses did have these commands, but there's nothing inherently evil with eating anything. It didn't really matter. It wasn't really a matter of good and evil. It was ceremonial in the law of Moses to kind of keep the Jewish people different than the Gentiles. What makes a person evil is what is on the inside makes a person evil. We could have used Jeremiah 17 for our scripture reading. We picked Deuteronomy. Could have used Jeremiah 17. The heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's on the inside. And Paul in Romans 7 and 8 says that when he was under the law, before he was a believer, he wanted to do what is good, but it was impossible to do what is good. He wanted to, but it was impossible. So here, eating doesn't matter. What matters, where evil comes from the inside. Jesus would keep the law. It was ceremonial. Moses wanted Israel to be different than Gentiles, but it didn't matter, really. There was nothing inherently wrong with any of the food. The critics were coming to him. They were using man-made rules beyond the law of Moses. They were attacking Jesus by these man-made rules that really weren't in the Bible at all, and his response was, leave them alone. Do what you can do with them, and then move on. And Jesus is going to move on right here in this story. We will look at it, probably start to do Easter sermons soon. But in verse 21, he moves away and he leaves Israel and he goes up to Lebanon. The musicians, please come.